Good morning. For those I haven't greeted yet, my name is Andre. I've met a lot of people. Sorry, I'm not going to remember everybody's names. We're from, like Lenny said, from Johannesburg. Myself and my wife, Mezen, is in the Sandton congregation there. And Marius and Gerda, who's leading here, was in our small group, so we really love them and appreciate them. It's really a privilege being here this morning. It's my first time attending a service here, so it's really nice. Cool. So as I mentioned, I'm married to Mezen. We have three kids, 15, our daughter, and then two boys, that's 8 and 6. When Morris asked me to preach here, awesome. But then he asked me, listen, he's been talking about baptism. So the past two Sundays, you guys have been talking about baptism, about John's baptism, about water baptism, and about the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. So he asked me, will I take the next one? Which is the baptism of suffering. Let's do this. But it was so encouraging, actually, just spending time with God and looking at Scripture. So I'm actually looking forward to this morning. So first off, who here has ever gone through a tough time? Wow. There's like 3 people that didn't raise their hands. Awesome. Well done. I'm going to start us off with Luke 12, verse 15. Let me just grab my other notes. So this is Jesus saying, but I have a baptism of suffering to go through, and I must go through it. So Jesus obviously speaking about the rest of his life. He went through persecution, ridicule, and he was also crucified on the cross. So he's talking about his baptism of suffering that's coming. And then I want to read to us Mark 10, verse 37 to 40. Now I love this. So Jesus gave 2 nicknames to 2 of his disciples. The sons of thunder. Just imagine those guys, eh? I guess they must be passionate, gung-ho, just, yeah, bring it on, you know. Loud, passionate, lacquer people. So they said to Jesus, they replied, let one of us sit on your right hand in your glorious kingdom. Let the other one sit on your left hand. That's boldness, eh? Jesus, this is what we want. And Jesus answered, you don't know what you're asking for, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup of suffering I drink? Or can you go through the baptism of suffering I must go through? I would hesitate answering Jesus there. You know, and they're like, we can. Yes, they said. So Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink, and you will go through the baptism I go through. But it is not for me to say who will sit at my right or left hand. These places belong to those that are prepared for. So, if we look at the disciples, all of them went through suffering. All of them were persecuted. All of them were ridiculed. All of them died. Okay. So, and if we look through history, just Christians, it's not always Manskin and Rosa. What is that in English? I don't know. So, it's not always Moonshine and Rosa. So when Morris asked me this, I was like, yo. You know, how do you share about suffering? So I'm going to share a little bit about our story. can see my wife already, sorry. I think I'm going to meet him as well. So, I know there's people who have a lot more difficult stories. I'm just going to share our story a little bit and just show you how God, how faithful God is in everything. So, as I mentioned, I have a picture there. That is us, Mikkel on the right, Azal in the middle, and Joshua. There were a lot smaller than, yeah. A little bit bigger now. So, in 2017, November, we were in Polokwane, and Azal, who was there in the middle, he was 2 years old, and he drowned. My wife found him in the pool. They resuscitated. He was basically dead for 2.5 hours. Which is also a miracle, because the doctor is normally 20 to 40 minutes max for CPR. They went 2.5 hours, 4 doctors, the whole team. They also don't know why. And then, it was still a lot of things wrong. So they said, listen, he's probably not going to make the evening. Have a heartbeat now. Next morning, he was still alive, so we flew him to Johannesburg. We moved. We just drove through, and now we're staying in Joburg. Didn't go back. But then we came to Garden City Hospital in Joburg, and there's a very good specialist that has no bedside manners. So this Dr. Bartlett, he just said to us, listen, he's probably not going to make the next day. And then the next day, he was still alive, and he said, listen, he's definitely not going to make the next 4 days because of all the CPR and his heart and kidneys and everything. And then 4 days later, he walked past, and he looked at us, and he's like, he's still alive. I must probably make a plan. Not what you want to hear from your specialist. We went through 4 or 5 months ICU rehab hospital, and after about 6 months you have a team meeting, you have the specialists and his doctor and OTs and social workers and everybody just once a month sitting and just chatting, giving feedback, and you can ask questions, and they just want to say that it's amazing that we are still together. Most parents don't make it through such ordeal. And that's 6 months down the line. And I just want to testify about that. You know, there's no way you can make it on your own. There's no way me and Mezen can make it. We most of the time just sat crying outside the hospital or inside the hospital. And it's just because we know God. Just because God is with us. That you survive, because you're not bringing anything to the table. God is carrying you. So I want to read for us Romans 5, verse 3 to 5. But before I do that, let me finish my story. So over the past 7 years, we've been walking this journey, and sometimes as all gets better, and then he gets a bike or something, and everything we've accomplished over the last 6 months just get wiped away again in his progress. So during the 7 years, at some stage they said, listen, I'm going to look at most of you, otherwise I'm going to cry. Anyway, they said at some stage, listen, his hip is dislocating. He's in pain. You must make a decision if you want to cut off the femur head so that he's not in pain, which would mean he would never walk. And that for me was quite tough. Just the doctors don't make the choice. They say, you must make the choice. Unfortunately, we know God, because how do you make a decision like that without God? Unfortunately, we feel a correct decision by doing the operation. But then, in December, Then in December, he was hospitalized again in ICU for like 3-4 weeks. And he got a bug there in his lungs that's not really treatable. So the doctor said, listen, we must think of how we're going to help him, because his lifespan is probably weeks. That was 3 weeks ago. And the one question I ask is, well, do you want your son to die? At home or in the hospital? So that's where we're at. So I just want to mention what I'm sharing is we've experienced a little. I'm going to read for us if I can see my papers. From Romans 5, is 3 to 5. Maybe I'm looking at the font's a bit better. Okay. And that's not all. We are full of joy even when we suffer. We know that our suffering gives us the strength to go on. The strength to go on produces character. Character produces hope. And hope will never bring us shame. That's because God's love has been poured into our hearts. This happened through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And I want to read James 1, verse 2 to 4 as well. My brothers and sisters, you will face all kinds of troubles. When you do, think of it as pure joy. Your faith will be tested. You know that when this happens, it will produce in you the strength to continue. And you must allow the strength to finish its work. Then you will be all you should be. So God is showing us through these two scriptures that He allows difficult times in our life to build our character so that we can grow, so that we can come to a place where we know we can't do it. We can't make it. We need God. We need the God. God is our strength. God is our joy. God is our sustenance. And God will continuously bring us to that place. So if you were hoping that you're going to hear a message that you will never go through tough times, unfortunately that's not what God says. That's not what the Bible says. So if you like the prosperity gospel, just what that means is some people believe I must just have more faith, I must just give more, and then I'm going to have a Ferrari and a yacht and this and this and this. The only problem is, that's not what God says. That's not what the Bible says. So it's not the truth. It's nice to want to believe that. I just felt God wanted me to say that this morning. But God says He will take us through tough times. But He will always be with us. He will always lead us. He will always comfort us. We need Him. If you do not know God, doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not, everybody will go through tough times. Everybody will come to their end where they don't have capacity, where they can't handle it. That is reality of life. That's what God says. So if you do not know God, I would love to pray with you this morning. And we've got a bunch of people that would love to pray with you as well. But you need God. God created Adam and Eve. He created us as humans to have a relationship with Him. We were never supposed not to be next to Him, not to be with us. You were created to be with God, to need God. So I'm going to end off with my favorite scripture, and that's Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He gives me everything I need. He lets me lie down in fields of green grass. He leads me beside quiet waters. He gives me new strength. He guides me in the right paths for the honor of his name. Comfort me. That's beautiful, though. That is what... Yes, I want that. And God gives us to it. But what I want, as we read the psalm, it's, for me, it's like seasons in your life. God takes you and he leads you by still waters. He blesses you. He comforts you. You experience his blessing. God gives that and he loves giving that. But then verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley, even if I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. You are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff comfort me. If you can just go back quickly, sorry. If we look at this, and David is writing this, if you go and look at his life, he went like this as well, as did all the disciples, as did do all people. And he says there, even if I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid because God is with me. He says that because he wants to be afraid. He is scared. God, I don't want to be scared. I believe in you. He says this to himself. That's how it sounds to me. Your shepherd's rod and staff comfort me. That's such a beautiful picture. That you have the staff, which is God, and you can lean on it. And if you walk through the valley of shadow of death, I can imagine you walk through this deserted valley, and there's stuff attacking you, but you have the rod and the staff to protect you, to hold on to you, to make sure you don't stumble. And then if we continue, you prepare a feast for me in front of my enemies. That is an interesting picture for me. God doesn't say, I'm going to wipe your enemies. You won't have enemies. Don't worry. He says, in front of your enemies, you will have enemies. You will be persecuted. You will be ridiculed. But I will prepare a feast in front of your enemies for you. You pour oil on my head. My cup runs over. I'm sure that your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So amazing that David says this. And so many times he was in caves, being persecuted. People wanted to kill him. And then his king. And so he has this massive ups and downs, difficult times, times of blessing and when it goes well. But always God is with him. So, on the one side, I'm sharing with you, you will go through tough times. But there's hope. There's encouragement. God has made you. And he is the solution. You know, just like if you ask the kids at Kids Church any question, they answer Jesus. Because Jesus is always the answer. You can't go wrong with it. And God is always our answer. God is always there for us. So this morning, I really just feel God wants to encourage you. He wants to give you hope that wherever you are, he is with you. He will carry you. He will be there always. You can rely on him. And I just feel for somebody specific, maybe you think God has left you. Maybe you feel God has deserted you. God is saying he is with you. The reason why you're still alive is because he's with you. He sustains you, he carries you, even if it doesn't feel like it sometimes. That is the truth. So I want us to stand, please. I'm going to pray for us, but I would really like As I said, God wants to encourage us. God wants to bring hope this morning. Maybe you are going through a time of suffering. We can't wipe it away. But we know God, and we would love to pray with you. Maybe you have gone through a time of suffering, and you're still processing, you're still recovering. We're not the solution, but we can pray with you, and we would love to pray with you this morning. So I want us just to close our eyes, and I'm going to pray for us. And if that's you, if you want prayer, please come forward. Also, if you are here this morning, and like I said, you were created to need God, to be with God. You can't make it on your own. If you are here this morning and you don't know God, if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, said, Lord, I choose to die to myself and follow you. If you have never done that, I want to give you the opportunity. I'm going to stand in front and I'll wait a bit before I pray for anybody. Please come to me. I would love to pray with you. And just leading you, giving your life to the Lord. So, Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you that it doesn't matter what happens in our lives, you're always with us. Doesn't matter how big our enemies, how big our suffering, how big our challenges, you win. You created this world. You created everything. There's nothing that can intimidate you, that can beat you. And we can be with you. We can call you Dad. We can call you Father. You comfort us. You hold us. You protect us. You lead us. You bring healing where we can't see it, where we can't generate it, where the wisest of the humankind can't solve it. You are there, and you love us. You love each and every one of us, and we thank you for that, Father. Thank you that we can call you Abba Father. In Jesus' name, amen.